B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
But joining us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Tim Legler. Legs.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what a rough day today, man. Rough day today, brother.
It's not even really, still not something that I'm processing, accepting, or it's doesn't seem real. You know, I was just saying that I actually, you know, got into a mini argument with my daughter yesterday because she's the one that actually, I got the first text from her because she was like, I guess, following like TMZ news or whatever.
Right.
You know, she likes that stuff. And I
sure.
get that text and I say, that can't be real. Forget about it. There's no possible way. I said, that's fake news. Don't worry about it.
Right.
It's not real. And then over the period of the next, you know, probably 30 minutes, you know, my phone was blowing up. And then you started seeing it reported from really, you know, really reputable sources. And that's when it was starting to sink in. Like, this might actually be something that's happened and we're going to have to be dealing with and coping with. And so I'm still kind of numb, man, from the whole thing, honestly.
I know. It's funny. I had the same reaction that you did when I first got an alert. I'm like, this can't be real. What? What is this? And you kept hoping that it was, you know, fake news or, you know, some sort of mistake. And,
yeah.
Once it happened, it hits hard and it's home. Give me your story with Kobe, which you remember. I know you have vast, vast memories.
Well,
and encounters.
Yeah, I do. I think probably, you know, one would be just initially first time I ever saw the guy. And I'm playing in Dallas at the time for the Mavericks, come home for the summer. And as a lot of guys in the area did, you know, Philadelphia's such a big area, such great basketball tradition. There's always a ton of guys that are either playing professionally, really good college players. The Sixers, obviously, are here, guys that play overseas. And you would gather, you know, at different
sure.
gyms in the summer. And people would, you know, be responsible. We were all connected, so we're calling each other and finding out where the games are because they would move around a little bit. And I remember walking into Philadelphia Textile, and that's where the games were that particular summer of that day. And I walked in, and I remember, you know, there's a bunch of dudes waiting to play. There's a game going on. It's like typical pickup style. So, I'm going to jump in next. I'm going to get taped up.
Right.
And I'm going to go play. And as I'm sitting there getting taped up, I'm looking at the court, and I'm watching the game, and I recognize pretty much everybody in there except for this one guy. And he's, like, going up and down. He's obviously crazy athletic, and he had all this bounce. And he looked really young, but at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, this must be a college player that's, you know, one of the Big Five schools that I just don't know, and, you know, trying to get an idea who it is. And I asked the guy to tape my ankles. I said, who is that? And he said, that's Joe Bryant's son. That's Kobe. He's like a 15-year-old. He's a freshman at Lower Merion. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. So he's out on the court with a bunch of NBA dudes and not just out there. He, you know, like I played pickup ball before, Anthony, with guys who, like, brought their sons who were, like, young, and they
yeah.
just wanted their son to be out there with grown men. And so they were, you know, and it's a great thing. I've done it with my son.
Right.
So this, you know, this wasn't like that. He was just out there. This was a guy that was out there that was just out there to do work and, like, to go at guys and to take on a challenge and absolutely believed he was every bit as good at the time as guys that were already in the league. And so that's kind of stood out to me. And
wow.
I got to know him over the years.
Wow.
And I got to spend a lot of time with him. It was pretty cool in 97. When he was at the All-Star Weekend in Cleveland, and he won the dunk contest that year, I was there also in the All-Star Weekend defending my three-point title.
Right, right.
So the competitors for the competitions, like you spend time together that weekend because they have meetings, they have
sure.
walkthroughs, they have all this stuff. And so Kobe and I struck up a conversation through that and a relationship that lasted from then on, and it was tied into Philly, you know, and me having played there, him growing
right.
growing up there and played high school ball there. We had that connection about what Philly hoops are about. And so over the years, and I was fortunate enough, I got to play against him a little bit before I retired. I was finishing up basically as he was starting to get his feet wet. And I got to guard a little bit in NBA games, which was pretty cool and an honor to do that. And then obviously covered him for the last 19 years. And every time I saw him, man, it was always the same. You know, he was so cool to me, and he understood right away. He'd see me, and, you know, he'd say legs, and I'd go over, shake his hands, and we start talking about Philly hoops, man. And so it was a very cool thing. getting to know him. And then we had a connection, obviously, his dad playing at LaSalle. Playing there. So that was always something we would throw in as well. So I guess that would be the thing that would jump out in terms of story, was just I'll never forget where I was the first time I saw him play basketball.
What do you think when you hear, like, oh my God, that kid's a freshman?
It was mind blowing because he had a baby face.
Right.
But he was so long and he had such bounce. And I remember he had a couple dunks that day that were just like, you know, NBA level, man, just taking off from so far out and extending and just, you know, his just confidence. Like, I've never seen it ever in my life. I don't think I've ever seen someone that confident that age at anything. As Kobe Bryant was, that this was his calling. This was his destiny. And this is what he was going to make happen. And look, he probably believed he was on a certain level before he even was, but that's great. That's what made Kobe special.
Sure.
Knowing he was going to chase that down and he was going to get there. And for me, everybody, you know, Michael's the greatest, and we all kind of agree on that. And I, you know, I saw him up close and personal for 10 years playing in the league. He won 6 titles during my 10 years in the league. So I got my share of Michael and know what that was like on the court. But, and for me, you know, we always have wanted to find guys and compare them.
Right.
Like, oh, it's the next Michael. He's close to Michael. For me, the only player that's ever lived that is a close approximation of Michael Jordan is Kobe. That's the only guy. Like, similar size, similar game, similar footwork, similar maniacal competitiveness, and also, by the way, maniacally competitive about scoring and going at you every time they caught it. There are a lot of guys I guarded over the course of my career that are either in the Hall of Fame or will be. And, you know, so you're talking to some great, great players, but there was also times when you were guarding those guys where, man, they would go camp out in the corner and spot up, or they throw the ball into the post like Drexler to Hakeem and then just go camp out and wait. And you got to rest a little bit. You never got to rest guarding Michael or Kobe. If you made one mistake, turning your head the wrong way, leaning the wrong way, it was a back cut, cat-like quickness, and they were finishing at the rim. You know, every time they caught it in the confines of the triangle, and they both played the triangle, was they were going to catch it and try to go immediately. And so it was the most exhausting mentally and physically, you know, challenge that I ever took on. And they were basically the same in that regard. Michael was just, you know, a notch higher level. And so, but for me, that's the closest approximation we're ever going to see, probably, is Kobe Bryant to what Michael Jordan was.
It's amazing, too, and obviously in his game, you could see the influence that Mike had on Kobe, and because it's uncanny, right? Like, from wagging the tongue to, like, just...
No question. One of the things I was really trying to, you know, in terms of, there's so many human aspects to this, and I want to talk about some of those, too, because I can relate to some of the things Kobe was getting ready to do with his life post-basketball. And I want to talk about that a little bit, but one of the things I was saying, you know, there also is a layer to this story, but just put into context, like as a player, you know, and that's my expertise. That's what I do. And it's just looking at his game, the thing that I think I marveled at, and I always gave him credit for this, despite the incredible athleticism, which I saw at 15, and then we all saw it from that point on. Despite that, I think Kobe Bryant may have been one of, if not the most fundamentally sound player I ever saw in terms of footwork. I mean, the guy could pivot either direction multiple times. He could finish with either hand. He was on balance wherever he wanted to be. And if he chose not to be on balance, it's because he was trying to, you know, escape you by leaning back and getting away from you.
Yeah.
But still the shot was on balance. But his footwork, his understanding of the game, his IQ. So how do you end up with a guy that is a top 10 player of all time, a top 5 scorer of all time? Well, you have to have a combination of incredible athletic ability, just incredible drive, which we all know, that's legendary. But then the last part is, you don't get there unless you have incredible basketball IQ and incredible fundamentals. And because his ability to use his feet and to escape and to get off shots at times when it didn't look like was possible, all of that came down to incredible amount of repetition he put in to perfecting that. So I think that, to me, is what I'll always remember about him. You know, he never was in a situation where you had the advantage when you were guarding him, because he could he could do whatever he had to manipulate his body and stay on balance and still make a great play because he had mastered the fundamentals and the footwork necessary to be able to do that.
Wow. Wow.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And you know the other aspect of it too? What an incredible lockdown defender, I guess, which goes back to his pride and his maniacal, what you put, competitive spirit that he wasn't going to let you score either.
Wasn't going to let you score. One of the things the ways I've described him, and I really, admire him. And look, there are people that he was a polarizing figure as far as a player. You can't deny that. Like, some people didn't like the style and the cockiness and the demeanor, right, and the way he carried himself at press conferences. Like, some people fell in that camp. Some people loved it. He had a cult following in that way. But, this was a guy that you had to admit this. He was a guaranteed investment on the 2.5 hours you were about to spend watching. Okay?
Yes.
I mean, as sure an investment of your time as a sports fan as you could possibly get, because you knew it was going to be, I'm not laying on any screens. I'm not jogging back. I am not going to take a shortcut and go under. I'm not going to fail to box out at a key time. I'm not going to just not have it tonight. That's just an incomprehensible mindset for Kobe Bryant. You are going to get it every single time you saw him. I think he played 80 or more games 6 times. And he had some injuries there toward the end, or that probably would have been a higher number. But when you watched him, he never cheated the game. And that, for me, as someone who loves it as much as I do, and got every ounce out of myself as a player, I admire guys that don't cheat it and don't cheat the process in any way. And that was Kobe Bryant to me.
Wow. That's beautiful, Lex. It's just beautiful. And you talked about his supreme intelligence and, going through something after basketball. And he was going to be a success as a content creator. And the way he looked, and I love the way he looked at the game. Like, I know you, as such a, that you love the sport, you love the game so much that you had to be fascinated by his takes.
Oh, no question about it. And the detail stuff that he did for us on ESPN.com was amazing, and getting the respect of a guy on that level and what he's seeing and processing. And, even when Kobe talked about it, it was never anything like, you're going to get if you're down at the gym and guys are talking hoops. This was something he considered a science, and it was something that, he processed that way. And that's why I think he had such a connection to Phil Jackson. I think Phil Jackson is a guy that also, every time he talks, it doesn't sound like he's talking about basketball. If you didn't know it was basketball, you'd say, what are we talking about right now? Some sort of scientific discovery.
Right.
That's the way that they talk about the game. And Kobe was very much like that. And the thing that I think just kept hitting me yesterday and was just making me so emotional, and today as well, is you think about the images that we have now of him with his daughter and what he was getting into and coaching her team and the academy he opened up and all the young kids he was going to try to help. And the reason it hit me so hard, Ant, is because as a professional athlete, and I know exactly like where he was about to begin this phase of his life, you give so much to trying to just be amongst the best that you, what the time and commitment that it takes getting there. And then once you're there, as a professional athlete, professional basketball player, you miss a lot. There's a lot you're not there for. And I'm not talking about birthdays and holidays. Like, you can always figure out a way, hey, if I'm on the road for one of my kids' birthdays, well, then we're going to celebrate it 3 days before the road trip. Like, you can figure out ways. Yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being there when you're 3-year-old and you're eating cereal with them in the morning and they say something really funny. Okay, like, I'm talking about moments like that. You miss a lot of that.
Yeah.
Now, the great dads, they do everything they can to make up for it in the time when they're home and in the off season, obviously. And then what happens is the day comes when your body can't do it anymore. Or you can't play at that level anymore, whatever it may be. And all of us have a different day that comes. You then start to make the transition, and some guys do it better than others, of what's going to be next. And you start to cherish, man, I can't wait to be able to know that I got to every game. I was at practices. I was doing homework with my kids. I was doing all those things. You can't wait for that time. And Kobe sounded like he was really excited for that.
Yeah, he was relishing it.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, relishing it. You know, coaching his daughter, coaching his kids, opening the academy. Who knows how many thousands of kids over the course of the next 20 years he was going to help. And so for me, for him to be robbed of it, for his daughters to be robbed of it, obviously one of them lost their life in this tragic accident. Three other ones are going to now have to grow up without this incredibly strong male presence in their life, their father, three daughters, four daughters. He won't get to walk down the aisle for their weddings. Vanessa, not growing old with Vanessa, like all of those things that he was entitled to and earned and so richly deserved to now experience for the next 30, 40 years, it was taken. And that's the part that kept hitting me, because I have two kids and I coached both of them.
Yep.
I tried to do everything I could to be the best father I could to them. And just the thought of, like, you're just ripped out of their life and they have so much that they need you for. And, you know, my kids are now, my daughter will be 24 this week. My son's 20 and they'll go on for the rest of their lives. How much they need you there for them. And so for me, for him not to get that part that I know he was thinking about probably every day those last couple of years of his career, and being able to transition and be able to handle the transition well, because he had that to look forward to. And he had so much to give. And that's the part that kept choking me up yesterday, and just thinking about my own
kids. Did you see the picture?
Yeah.
Did you see the with him, his arm around Gigi?
Yeah.
The one I keep referencing, he's got the Eagles hat on. I'm like, the joy in his face. And you can see he's like just enjoying his daughter. And listen, you met my two kids. Like, you know, I couldn't wait to take them to your camp. And, you know, like, as a father, I feel you, man. I'm taking my kid to a party yesterday when I found out the news. And then we had two basketball games on Saturday. And, you know, these poor kids, these little girls, aren't going to have their dad.
And then on another level, it's, you know, he's got four daughters. A guy like that, right, never had a son. He's got four daughters. And look, you don't ever know if your kids are going to take to something that you loved and that your expertise lies in. Like, I always tease my kids. Like, my dad wasn't an athlete. My dad, you know, my dad was a guy that had his head under the hood of a car most weekends,
right,
doing things like that. And that wasn't my thing. So I was playing sports. So I think about, you know, then now I have kids and I didn't force anything on them. It's like, you guys, we're going to introduce you to a bunch of stuff when you're little and see what you like.
Right.
Both my kids took to the game, you know, and their mom, my ex, was a Division I player at LaSalle. So it was natural. It was going to be like kind of in their genes, but also just in the house. Basketball was something we loved.
Right.
They took to it. And I think about Kobe and this girl, Gianna, that clearly was, you know, one of the best players you're going to see her age, and who knows where it was going to lead ultimately. I mean, you just never know. But the fact that there was this thing that Kobe fell in love with as a 5 or 6 year old kid that he made his life out of and became one of the all time greats, obviously, you know, pumping through his veins. This is the thing he loved more than anything else in the world. To have one of his daughters, not his son, one of his daughters take to it to that level.
Yeah.
You can imagine the bond that those two were developing, you know, when they were going to games together, when he was getting a chance to coach her and the pride he was taking in that. And he's actually equally as proud of his other three daughters, but there's a special connection.
They shared something. Exactly.
This is something that made my life, and you love it too? Man, that's cool.
Yeah.
We're going to do this together. And that's kind of, you know, I got to experience that with both of my kids growing up and coaching them and all the tournaments, traveling to and all of that. So that's the stuff that I was thinking about yesterday. Like, more than anything, everybody's going to reminisce about Kobe as a player, and all you got to do is just pull up a videotape and look at all the highlights we're showing on all these different media outlets as they should. But the stuff that I am connecting to and relating to is his relationship with his daughters and what post-basketball looks like for all of us that play. And then you get to that stage and you're so excited to be able to do it and not have to say goodbye to your kids for a 10-day road trip anymore. And you're there for everything and you can't wait to start that process. And then also have a daughter that fell in love with it to the way that she was and him being a part of that. Like, that's the stuff I couldn't get out of my head yesterday that was really haunting me.
Very poignant. Very poignant. Legs, incredible perspective. And it's just a sad day, man. It's a somber Monday. You nailed it, man. I really appreciate it, brother. And you know what? Go hug, you know, call your kids. Go hug your kids.
Yeah. That's why I reached out to them immediately when it, you know, we got the news and just said,
hey, we're not promised, you know, tomorrow. That's the problem.
If this doesn't teach you that we spend too much time creating anxiety over stuff that's petty, that really ultimately the big picture doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What lesson will teach you that? And it's time to just, you know, love and cherish and don't live with regrets and get every moment out of your life, man, because you just do not know when anything can be taken from any of us in a blink of an eye.
Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Legs. You're the greatest.
I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. We love you, buddy. Take care.
See you, buddy.
Tim Legler on the Comcast Business Hotline. His message is just spot on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.